Hello, everyone, and welcome to Hit and Hustle from irissportsdaily.com. I am your host, Greg Flamong, and with me back is Jamie Uwayama, Mr. Jamie University. It is Tuesday, what is it, April 23rd, and we're going to talk spring game. We finally get to talk. Jamie wasn't able to be on the morning after recap show on Sunday. He did record Power Hour with Mike Frank yesterday, so if you want to catch those comments, go to Power Hour on iTunes, Apple, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast, you can listen to them there. But we're also going to talk spring game here today. This is going to be an extended kind of spring game conversation. I think Thursday, Jamie, I was thinking about this. I want to run it by you. We'll do a mailbag show. Any questions that ISD subscribers have from the spring game, maybe things that we don't cover. There's going to be a lot. Probably there's going to be a lot of given what you saw about X, project out Y. Right. And yeah. So we'll do our best to do that. And we'll obviously entertain those questions. But we're going to try not to make a lot of grand sweeping conclusions about the spring game and what we saw in conjunction with like all the things that Jamie saw from his practices and the jersey scrimmage and things like that. It's just this is a snapshot in time of where we think the team is. And then there are some projections that we can make going forward, I think, but we'll try to be sober in our analysis. I don't know if you heard, Jamie. I was a little bit excited on Sunday morning, I have to say, just about the prospects of this team. And so we're going to get into all that. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you like what you hear today, and if you haven't done so already, please subscribe to our channel. Please hit the like button. Please hit the notification bell so you know whatever it is we are going live. Links to our podcast are going to be in the description below if you prefer the audio format. Hopefully like what you see here, and you will like what you see if you head over to esqclothing.com and you need to upgrade your wardrobe. ESQ was founded by Notre Dame alum Ga Wang. You've seen ESQ on all your favorite Notre Dame players and coaches with over a decade of making the best custom clothing available. ESQ will help you look and feel your best in 2024. From a perfect fitting suit or sport coat, shirt or bomber jacket, or that perfect tuxedo for wedding season, check out Ga's amazing work at esqclothing.com and book an appointment to upgrade your wardrobe today. Mention ISD and get 10% off your entire purchase. Jamie, I led the morning after recap show with the thought that, you know, I think we've seen a lot of spring games that are generally just kind of sloppy and very much a practice. And I thought what we saw on Saturday was a lot more crisp. I thought the level of play was a lot higher than we're used to seeing. And I thought that was kind of my main takeaway before I got into any player position specific stuff. It's like, man, the if you want to make a play in this game, you better really be doing a good job. Didn't see a lot of sloppy stuff. I'm wondering if you felt the same way.
Yeah, I think, well, I think overall, I don't even know if like sloppiness is, it wasn't like overly sloppy. I just think that's has to do with like the depth of the roster.
Yeah.
So there's just not a lot of guys there that you're like, man, this guy, I don't know if he's ever going to play. Like there's, it's a short list right now. Cause like, even if you look at like the early enrollees in the game and everybody is excited about like, you know, the KVAs and the CJ Cars and the Bryce Youngs and all that, you know, as they should be. But Anthony Knapp went in there and played well. Like,
yeah,
that's not something that, you know, people would predict or expect, right? And it's not like everyone looks great right away, but I think if you kind of contrast it with, let's say the 2019 spring game, right, which was that Phil Jurkovec game where he was like sacked on every play basically, you know, it's not like you know, Kenny Minchie didn't have to deal with pressure like almost every time he dropped back or anything, but it wasn't to the same level that it was you know in that kind of game, and where you're seeing like so many more guys on defense make plays, like you know, and it's something we've talked about offline, we've talked about it here too, like Preston Zinner and Kahanu Kia aren't guys that you know, you're like, man, this guy, these guys are never going to play. Like, they're not bad ball players, and like they can play. It's just that right now they're not going to be in a situation where they're probably going to have to play based on kind of where everyone's at right now, you know, with the depth chart. But like, I don't know. I wouldn't bet on them like not playing this year at all or anything like that, because one, you don't know what's going to happen with injuries. And the other thing is, I think they're just good players. Right. And where you could kind of see that where, I just think the overall depth of the team is just so much better. And even guys that kind of maybe people weren't buzzing about early on in terms of like some of the D linemen, you know, like a guy like Brendan Vernon. It's not like there weren't, I mean, he still has a long way to go in a lot of ways, but I also saw him like, you know, work moves as a pass rusher that, I would say that, you know, a lot of guys in his situation who are like, you know, fourth, like on the fourth team or whatever, wouldn't be normally doing, you know? So you just see stuff there overall from the roster that just, and even with the receivers, they're missing so many guys, yet they still had competent receivers out there, right? So I just think that's just a sign of health of the program, a sign of where things are at for where they should be really for year three under Marcus Freeman.
Yeah. Like specifically to the wide receivers, if this was the group just that we saw, I don't think it's great because I think they're missing some stuff, but at the same time, like I think it's better than kind of what they were going with last year. And there's a whole wave of players that are still to play. Right. And so It's just a completely different situation. I think Rajon makes a good point here. Our concern with depth now is who's leaving instead of who's playing, right? It's like you can foresee a circumstance where you don't know where good players or how good players are going to get a bunch of snaps. And that's the concern, is like if a guy like Preston Zinter, I'm just throwing the example. Preston Zinter is someone who, if he left the program, I would think, man, that's a good football player. I don't like him leaving the program. You know what I mean? Instead of like, well, he was never going to play and he's not really that Notre Dame caliber. Like, I don't think that about him, right? So I think that Notre Dame's getting themselves into that kind of situation more and more. So Keith Hearing asks a question. How do you analyze the game players when every play could be seen as a positive or a negative? A guy gets beat by a guy, also wins, versus analyzing an actual game. And I think something that you pointed out on Power Hour, and I also pointed it out on my morning after recap, is I thought a lot of the plays that were made, especially in the skills, are like plays that you want to see made by your skill guys, but also against guys who aren't your regular starters. Like all the deep passes. No deep balls against Christian Gray, Jaden Mickey, or even Chance Tucker, right? We saw Micah Bell get beat. We saw Isaiah Dunn get beat. We saw one of the walk-on corners. I can't remember his number, but he got beat on the Micah Gilbert touchdown, right? So you're seeing plays being made by your top flight players, but not against your also top flight players. So that was, I think, a good thing. I think the one thing where this is hard to analyze is on the offensive line and defensive line, when it's especially Jagusaw versus like RJ Oben or Bubakar, or same thing with Tosh Baker. And so Jamie, let's just lead with the offensive line here for a second, because you were, I think, fairly critical of the way Jagusaw played in the game with Mike yesterday on Power Hour. And I wanted to kind of add some context to that, to get your view on, because I think people will hear that and they'll jump to left tackle is going to be a disaster. Left tackle is like a big problem. And I'm just wondering how you think about the issues that you saw Jagusaw having. Do you see those being things that like he needs time? he needs to work on, like, these are things that can be worked on overall? Or is it something where you think to yourself, this isn't going to work with him in this position? I'm curious where you come out there in terms of what you saw in the game.
I think it's TBD, really. Like, I'm just going to be completely honest. Like, just based on, like, because, and I'm not just basing this off of the spring game. I'm best basing it off of the scrimmage I saw the week before, too.
For sure.
I think that, you know, I wouldn't say that, like, I would never write anyone off of based on, like, one bad day, right? Like, I think that's always a big mistake, you know, to do that. And I think one of the things, too, that I think showed with that, and I want to emphasize this, is that in the first half of that game was when he really, really struggled. Yeah. And then the second half of the game, you know, they didn't take him out. You know, they kept him in the game. Like, he was the guy. Obviously, part of it's because he's young, but part of it is like, this guy needs the reps.
Yeah.
He needs the reps. And he played much better in the second half. And I think part of it is, you know, like I was mentioning on Power, like, it's not like a regular practice where Joe Rudolph gets to be like, okay, you know, talk to him after a play where it's like, okay, now we're going to, you know, you did this, we're going to change this here. Like, you know, you got to do this on the next time he does that or whatever. Right. Where, to me, this is what I always see. I mean, this happens all the time, and you can, it's not just offensive line, but you can, any position, when you get beat and you're having trouble, and you guys can get on tilt, and it can be like, it can just keep going downhill. And it can keep going downhill. And that was the case for me when I was watching Charles Jagasaw. That's what I saw from him. I was like, oh, he got beat this way. And then he was overreacting. Then he got beat the next way. Because it was like, that was the same thing. It was like, got beat speed of power. Now he's trying to anchor. Now he's trying to be like hard set this. Well, then he just got beat easily around the edge, right? Like, it's just all of these things. And frankly, too, I think one of the things, you know, that should be mentioned, too, is that, like, Boubacar Traore, and this is the other thing that you have to take it, and that's why context matters for all this. Boubacar Traore is gonna abuse tackles all year. I am like 100% confident this guy is going to be an impact pass rusher, like, because he has things, he has traits that are going to be problems for anyone. Like, every tackle, any tackle that doesn't get back in a set quickly, he's gonna cook because he's that good off the ball. His snap anticipation is that good, his twitch is that good, where he is going to give people problems. And he just has a natural feel for it that just a lot of guys don't have, right? So Traore is a viper. He's a viper. Tyler. So sorry, Tyler asked in the thing for all the people who are listening. So you know, that's it. And then the other thing is, like, Obin is a professional. Like, the way I would say it is, he's a professional rusher. Like, he is a guy that has years of production, right? Like where he's a guy who knows how to get after it. Like, he's a guy who has shown the ability to, you know, get pressure on the passer for years and years. So he has, like, tools in his toolbox that is going to be one of the better rushers that you go against from week to week. So, and when you're having to deal with that and you're a young guy who's kind of still adjusting, it's just going to be growing pain. So that's part of it. So whether or not he can get out of it, whether or not he has all the traits to kind of, like, be, you know, the next great left tackle, I think, to me, it's to be determined there, because I just haven't seen enough of it. Like, and if I was just going to compare him, because the thing is that Notre Dame, we're fortunate enough, we've seen a lot of guys who have come through and be advanced at a very early age, right? So like, Blake Fisher came in and was like, I mean, this guy's blocking Foskey in practice. Like, he is holding his own against Isaiah Foskey coming off of a 11 sack season, right? So there's that kind of thing, right? And then Joe Alt, you could tell right away, or like, even though he had a little bit of growing pains when he was a freshman coming in, like you can tell, like, oh, this guy had it. He was, if he didn't come in, if he came in the you know, winter instead of the summer, he probably would have been starting right away too. Like that's just kind of where he was at and what kind of talent he had. And then there's obviously been a bunch of other guys who've started in that second year and have kind of like shown, but there's been other guys where it's been more of a process. Like Liam Eichenberg started in his third year at left tackle, and go back and watch that third year for him, his first year starting. And he had growing pains that year against the best guys he was going against. He could handle the other guys, but when he was going against like Brian Burns, who's like a first round pick, I mean, he had trouble all day, right? But then you saw, like, as it went on year after year, he got better and better. And, you know, that was the thing. So I think with Jagusaw, you're just going to see him, you know, you're just going to have to see him progress. And going against these guys now is like, it is actually the best thing possible for Notre Dame before they get to play Texas A&M, because these are the kind of players you're going to have to go against Texas A&M. So it's TBD where he's going to be at. And to me, that right tackle position is still very much up in the air. So, I mean, these are things that got to get figured out. But I don't see it as the same as like 2021, where I was like, man, these are just like all these problems where like, I don't think there's answers here. Where I like, I think there could be answers, but we have to wait and see.
Yeah. Okay. Some breaking news. Micah Bell has put his name into the transfer portal for Notre Dame. He's going to be a sophomore corner. Nickel guy. You had kind of heard that he was struggling a little bit throughout spring. Had a tough jersey scrimmage. Had a pretty good spring game, actually. Broke up three passes. He did get beat by Micah Gilbert on a touchdown throw. That was actually, I thought, one of the best plays of the day, both by Kenny Minchie and Micah Gilbert. So tough beat there, but he puts his name into the portal. And the thing with him is, you know, Abe Froman says it's you hate to see the speed leaving the program. And that's true, right? That's definitely true. I think for him, it was difficult for him to see a path to the field where, like, you have Notre Dame has Jaden Osbury playing kind of like that, kind of a nickel spot, kind of like a JOK type of role. You also have a situation where when Rod Hurd comes over, he could be the backup nickel if something happened to Jordan Clark. And so if he didn't see a clear path to the field this year and then beyond, it makes sense that he would be leaving. I mean, this is in a way kind of what Rajon was talking about. Like, he's so young, you know, you would like to develop his skill set a little bit more, but at the same time, if he doesn't see it and the staff can't assure him that there's going to be an opportunity there, it makes sense that he would put his name into the portal. Do you have any reaction to this, Jamie?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, like, I don't like the idea of giving up on guys early or whatever, because I always think there's always a chance for guys to turn it around. Obviously, the staff gets to work with these guys in ways and learn things about them that we can't see, right? But I mean, I will say though that they brought him in last year, and specifically, like, he was kind of working at nickel, like they were training him to be like a future nickel, to be like the next Sean Crawford or whatever. And he was not fitting that. Like, he was not doing well there. He was struggling. And there's a reason. It's not because just Jaden Osbury, they're like, man, we got to get this guy. We need more road rats. It's like, no, they actually need somebody who can back up a nickel and maybe even push Jordan Clark at nickel. And he was not that guy. He just did not, like, the fact that they didn't like have they never used him as a second nickel in the jersey scrimmage or in this game. It's not because they didn't have guys outside. It was like, this is because they didn't feel comfortable with him, you know, playing there. And I don't know. It's just one of those things where I think, you know, he was struggling and didn't have a good spring camp. It's, I mean, it's something that has happened with a lot of guys, you know, over the years early on. And, you know, sometimes there's guys who do that and then they kind of like, kind of are able to overcome that like during camp and then kind of like show something. And it's like, okay, well, like he did well kind of at, you know, he played decent in the blue gold game, but like we said, that's one practice, right? Yeah. So it's like one practice there. And honestly too, like if they didn't see a path for him, it's one of those things too, where Notre Dame is at a program in terms of the depth. And what we're talking about too is if he doesn't see a path and they don't see a path for him playing like pretty soon, he's going to get recruited over and just get passed. And that's just that's just the reality of it.
Yeah. Dylan Edwards also in the portal, Jamie. Funny stuff, man. Look where Notre Dame is in terms of their running back room and things like that. It just, like, Notre Dame wouldn't look at him because it's just there's not a lot of spots, right? Like, they got Aeneas Williams, they got Jeremiah Love looks good, they got Kedron Young, Jabron Payne looks good, Jamie. So there's not a lot of spaces there for them to deal with. Let's talk about the quarterbacks, Jamie. You know, people like we had the Kevin Stefferson. They said he was good, but my God, he is good award. It's got to go to CJ Carr, right? I mean, I didn't want to freak out too much, and I think you know, watching it back, like, there were some little things that he did in the game that, like, he missed a couple reads. He took a terrible sack. Like, it was first and 25, just hit the crosser to KK Smith and let him run for some yards and get some yards out of it. Instead, he spins away and he ends up losing more yards, like, you know. So, like, can't ever take a sack in that situation. And then he ends up hitting like the long, deep out to KK Smith that's 2 yards short of the first down, which is funny because if you had taken the yards on the crosser, you got a first down there. And you're moving this chains. I think they ended up going for fourth and getting it. So, but look, man, I thought CJ Carr looked, just the poise that he has, you know, willing to make the throws, like the throw over the middle to that KVA made a great play on, like the two freshmen, the two early enrollees, like he made a great play there. But, like, there's really nothing else there. I was watching the playback. It's like, he doesn't really have anywhere else to go with this ball. It makes sense that he try to fit it in that situation. And it's off his back foot, too, and it almost gets there in time, and it's exactly where you want it to be. Tons and tons of talent. I thought Kenny Minchie, I thought he made the two kind of biggest mistakes in the game. I'm not counting the interception, because to me in the game, I think in that situation, I'm trying to move the sticks. It's third and long, right? I'm trying to make plays. I want to put the ball in the end zone. I'm not trying to like take a sack here. You know what I mean? And like maybe in a regular football game where there's an actual game and you're playing every possession out, you don't throw that ball. But I think in the spring game, I think it's totally fair to throw that ball. I thought he missed a read to they ran mesh to Jack Polian. I thought Polian, he had him on the crosser. Micah Bell got caught up in traffic. If he hits him there, he's probably going to run for a good amount of yards. And it's like his first read too, so I don't know why he came off it, but I thought he missed that. He ended up almost throwing an interception on that play. I think it was on maybe the first pass of the game. He had a quick slant to Micah Gilbert where Marty Orr was, he kind of got caught up in traffic. If he hits Micah Gilbert on the run there, it's kind of an easy throw. He's going to run for a lot of yards. He'd instead tried to dump down to to Jabron Payne, and I think it was incomplete on that one as well. But other than that, I thought he did a good job. I was wondering this too, Jamie, about Mishi. When is the last time since he left high school? When is the last time he was live in a game situation like that, facing like a?
I think it might have been live last year
in the spring.
In the spring game, yeah.
I don't really recall, but like
he probably was live in the scrimmage last year. You know what I mean? Like
right. Probably, so like right? We're talking like a year ago in the spring game, and then the scrimmage three times in like 2 years. You know what I'm saying? He hasn't had a ton of reps of like live bullets there. So I thought he handled himself in the pocket well for someone who hasn't had a ton of live reps like that. So your thoughts on that?
I would say that I think Minchie made probably the best throws under pressure out of anyone. And this is the other thing that you have to take into context with all this too. And like you mentioned about, you know, him throwing that ball, first of all, this is like a learning experience too. Like, you don't throw that ball in a real game. Like, you got to eat it, whatever. Yeah. Right? Like, that's a learning experience. Or, you know, you throw it into the stands, whatever. But that's one thing you didn't see from any of these guys. None of these guys were like throwing it into the stands or whatever. Right. Like, they weren't making those decisions, but those are decisions you got to make at some time. So I think that's part of it, right? As guys are out there, you know, you only get so many chances to go out and play. They want to try to make plays. I get it, right? And I think Minchie, if you look at like, say, like if you took his like five best plays, like his throws and like the one like escape that he had where he had like just fantastic run, you know, scramble. Those plays were awesome. And then there was also some other plays too where like, I mean, he's got to get a little bit of help from some of his guys too. And I think you say same for Carr as yeah. well. But he easily had the worst protection out of any of the quarterbacks in the game. And you know, the protection wasn't overall good for any of them, but like it was, I mean, he was like every single snap. He was like breathing down his neck. So I think from that perspective too, it's like you got to kind of take that into kind of the context of it. I actually thought Carr, watching it back, people should be excited about him. I think there's a lot to be excited about there, including too, like I mentioned, like there are plays too where he gets out of the pocket, he finds a guy down the side, and like tight end drops it. Like, just catch the ball, guys.
Okay? Yeah.
You got to catch those balls. So there's a few of those things that kind of like make his numbers look better and all that. But you know, he does throw there is a couple things where it's just like, you know, the one where it's like the Christian Gray should have been a pick, right? Like those kind of plays, it's just like, it changes how people view it because it's like, well, you know, I mean, it doesn't say in the stat sheet that he threw it, but it's like, well, you know, that was a throw he shouldn't have made. Right. So there's all that kind of stuff too. So
it's in my opinion, it was less defensible throw than the one that Minchie made because it was second down. They still had another down to play with there. So it was like, yeah. Really, like you're really just chucking it.
That one should have been, that was 100% one he should have thrown away.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's trying to make a play and it's
for sure.
You know, so there's good and bad, right? There's good and bad with it. But like, I don't know how you come out of that where you don't like the future at quarterback for Notre Dame. Yeah. I would say though, if I was going to give this award to somebody, I would give it to Traore. Like, I think,
oh, interesting.
To me, it's like a no brainer. Like he was just, especially too, like he had like double digit pressures on the game and like really just like was absolutely disruptive the entire time. He was, you know, I think like Drew White tweeted after the game, like, oh yeah, like it's confirmed. Boubacar Traore,
yeah.
Like, yes, it's confirmed. Like this guy is, he's a dude.
What was I going to say? Oh, here's a take from the game. I think this has a chance to be a special pass rushing team. Truly, like special. Like I think when you have a situation where you have Traore coming off the edge on the other side, RJ open, and then you mix in the fact that like they can send Jalen Snead after the quarterback too, it could be special. Like it could be a truly special season from a pass rushing standpoint. Just the way, and like you don't even have to bring a bunch of guys. You know what I mean? Like you can bring four and still just be ball hawking all over the place. So I think that has a chance to be just like a monster group. Charles Stafford, maybe we need to rethink his career award. I went with Onye. I thought he was like kind of a monster, you know, like especially when you consider he's a reserve. He's going to be behind Mills and Cross. The fact that he just was so consistently good, consistently doing good things. I just thought, man, he seemed like a man amongst boys, like don't try to block me kind of thing. Like, and so I thought that was really good to see, just because he's going against some starters, some reserves, right? But he showed out the way that he thought. What did you think about that? And who do you have for this award?
I would have picked him too. I think I agree with that. Like, I think that, to me, and this is one of the things that he had shown last year in fall camp, or not just in fall camp, but in the spring too, right? We weren't just like marveling how this guy was 290 pounds at a six pack, but like he was flashing in a way that you were like, oh, you can really, there's something there with him. Like he's got a chance, and he looks like an NFL player. Like he looks like he's going to be a future NFL player if you just look at him physically and how he moves and how he runs and everything. And I think, you know, you could point to certain plays during the season. If you pick like his 10 best plays during the season, you'd be like, oh man, this guy, he's a dude or whatever, right? But you could also find all these other plays where you're like, he got reached here, this was a bad step, he was laid off the ball here, blah, 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 his hand placement, whatever, all this kind of stuff. And I think if you're looking at this specific, you know, day, just the level of consistency, like you said, what didn't matter if it was going against starters or backups. And the thing is too, is like when he was going against, like, okay, when you're going against Ty Chan, it's been struggle town whenever we've watched him. Like he's having a tough time, but like he was kind of, you know, whooping him. And it that's what you want to happen when you're doing it. You're not taking your foot off the gas pedal because it's another guy, right? So I think that's the way, you know, that he really stood out. It was just like the consistency through the game, the consistency of his get off. He was like way better with his hands. He was doing a great job, like just kind of like working an edge, you know, like wrist grab, like pulling up. You can tell like that's something that like he's obviously worked on and the coaching staff has worked on with him. And I think like this year, I think that's what you kind of wanted to go out of this and look at where kind of defensive tackle was. And you wanted to be in a position where you say like, okay, well, like this guy can be able to, you don't want to get into a position where you're like, okay, well now we're playing Florida State. Well, he's going to play four plays. And this game is like, nah, you need a guy you can actually put out there and like feel good. Like this guy can make a play in that kind of game. And they obviously didn't feel that way about him last year, where now this year, I think, I mean, it's pointing in that direction. And so that's a really good thing.
Yeah, I'm adding a new award, Jamie.
Okay.
We're adding a new award to the docket. We didn't have it for the previous show, but this one is the VSR Media. This looks amazing award. And this award is going to be sponsored by VSR Media, founded by Notre Dame pregame host and Emmy Award-winning anchor Vahid Saadrazadeh. VSR Media provides professional and cinematic video and photo. Whether you're looking for a collegiate or pro-level highlight reel, have a personal story to tell, or are aiming to diversify and grow your business, VSR Media specializes in short and long-form video storytelling, social media management, and website design. VSR Media also captures professional headshots, senior and sports photos. Contact us or contact them at vsrmediacompany.com. Mention Iris Sports Daily to receive 20% off your first project. Visit them online or give them a call at 574-800-9106. If you want something to look amazing. And this was kind of brought on by Mike in Oklahoma asking the overall thought on how Drake and the linebackers looked. I think this is the most exciting position on the team, honestly. I think Drake Bowen, I think he looked good in the game. I think he made a number of plays. He made a great play on a screen pass. I thought he was really good in coverage too, Jamie. When the interception
that was his pick, the ball was thrown.
If he threw it where it was supposed
great
to be.
Great job, great recognition, yeah.
He would have intercepted that pass. He had another one on against Kenny Minchie where he read the play on the mesh, almost intercepted that pass as well. So he was like his IQ and his recognition for, like you said, for the passing game. I thought he played well in the running game. Jalen Snead, to me, I am fully on board with his ascension in terms of understanding of what his role is supposed to be. I think now he's playing under control, but also with urgency. And that is exactly where you want to be as a linebacker. He looks great out there. Jaden Osbury is another one where I think he's listed at 225. I don't think there's any way he's 225. He is smaller than that. He was in the slot covering Jaden Greathouse across the field on like a sail route, which was, I was like, I did not know that was going to be in his bag. Now, I think the ball was thrown behind a little bit.
And it was thrown behind.
Front. Yeah, I think it was thrown in front.
It would have been completed if it was on.
It would have been completed. But like the fact that he's there to, hey, it's got to be a good throw. It's got to be exactly where it's supposed to be. And if it isn't, I'm going to break it up. I mean, that was a long way that he had to run around against Jaden Greathouse. It's not like that was a walk-on, you know? So he's got that in his bag. KVA, Jamie, they can't keep him off the field. He's going to play. He's going to play a lot. Kanukia was just a wrecking ball. Like he made so many plays. Talk about a guy who hasn't played a ton of football. I mean, he hasn't been doing anything other than being on a mission for the last 2 years. Comes in, has 12 tackles in the spring game. I thought Preston Zinter flashed a number of times. So that's where I'm at with the linebackers. I thought they played really well, all of them. I didn't think any of them were like red flaggy in any kind of way. And I just think that's a loaded group. And so they're my VSR Media. They looked awesome award.
Yeah, I think that group looks great. Like they just look deep. They don't have there's no passengers at all. Like, You know, they, you know, it's kind of what we just mentioned at the beginning. Like they have guys where I don't think there's a situation too where if they have to go deeper into it, you're going to feel comfortable with who they're putting out there. You know, and there's always going to be growing pains because these guys are young. So there's always going to be things there. It's just like when you watch any of these guys, like no one is as good as, you know, when they're a sophomore compared to how they're a senior at linebacker, right? You just are, you know, stronger, more technically sound, just, you know, at a different level. You just look at like, say, even like a guy like Jalen Smith, who was obviously fantastic as a sophomore, but you know, he just got better every year. And that was kind of the way it was. I just think that they're just incredibly deep there. And I just think if you look at where Bowen, I mean, Kizer didn't even play in the game really. So like, that's the other thing, right? Is like, you know, Kizer is going to play and play pretty well. And I just think Bowen as an athlete, like really stands out as like a guy like that they can play at Mike Backer and like be a sideline guy.
Yeah.
And there's just, and looks good as a blitzer. And I just think that there's so much there. If you just said, okay, well, yeah, they got Kizer and they got Snead and they got Bowen, you'd be like, all right, yeah, they're in good shape. But then you're like, okay, then they also have Osbury. And, oh, yeah, well, you know, KVA is like, he just, that play that he made, you know, the one you mentioned where he almost picked off Carr, like out of in like a cover two where, you know, Mike linebacker, like an inside linebacker has to drop like deep middle to make a play on a ball like that. Only seen it in the last decade from Jalen Smith and Drew Tranquil. Those are the only two guys. And people wouldn't say that he is that type of player because they think, oh, he's like a downhill. Like, look at this guy. He's like 230 pounds, a freshman. And you see him trigger downhill in the run game. And, oh, yeah, he can line up off the edge stuff too. It's like, nah, this guy can drop and do this kind of stuff too. And that's why people are so excited about him, right? And I'll also just want to mention one other thing about Kia. When he was there as a freshman, it wasn't like he didn't flash, you know, as a freshman. They had him playing Viper. So it's not like he was even working as a linebacker and could kind of just walk back into this. And it's not just that they changed schemes and changed staff and all the kind of stuff. It's like, this guy has to go from like different position, learning all these different things, learning, taking on so much more in terms of scheme and all that. And he just could go out there and just play like that. Like it really is amazing. And I do think, yeah, like by the time they're done, he's going to be heard from at Notre Dame.
Yeah. So I'm fully in on the linebackers, as you know, Jamie, you have known this for a bit, right? So that's where we're at. Let's get to more of the awards here. Marty Orr, this walk-on is kind of balling award. I thought Jack Polian, I thought he looked the best out of all the walk-ons in the game. Did you have anyone else in mind? Jack Polian was number 81, the green jersey. He was playing wide receiver for both teams. He had a monster game. Kenny Minchie were throwing the ball, but that's fine. Anything else on that, Jamie?
No, I mean he was a guy who probably stood out the most to me. I just think this wasn't really a year for like a lot of walk-ons shining because there was just a lot more of the young guys playing. They had so many there's so many early enrollees that are on campus too that it's just like, unfortunately, because you know this is like kind of one of the days where like, hey, the walk-ons are going to play a little bit more. But you know, kind of where they're at in terms of like some of these young guys, it's like, well, they're trying to get these young guys as much run as possible because, you know, they're not going to get as much run when it's later on in fall camp once they start getting deeper into it, right? So, yeah, so there wasn't a lot there. But I would say, yeah, Polian too, like, caught a nice touchdown in the jersey scrimmage too.
No, good. Sam Hartman, don't make too much of this award, Jamie. What positive thing are people kind of going too much in on, in your opinion? Not that it wasn't good or whatever. Like, is it, do you think it's CJ Carr? Do you think that's what it is? Or would you go another direction with this?
I would say it's probably more of the receivers. And it's not to say that I don't think the receivers have greatly improved, but like, you know, just saying like Micah Gilbert, I mean, that's a good classic, like spring game. Like, I mean, you know, yeah, he cooked a guy who, you know, is transferring today. You know,
so it's like the guy was in the portal and then the other one was against the walk-on.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's different when you're like making those plays against, Christian Gray and, you know, you're doing that kind of thing. And even if you look at like KK Smith, it's not like KK Smith. I'm not saying any of these guys look bad. I'm just saying like, KK Smith, you know, he gets his big play. Well, you know, they had that rub route where it was like a switch release and he just got him and he was wide open. Right. So it's like, not like a thing where he was just like, he ran a great route or anything like that. Or even Chris Mitchell. Yes, it was a really nice, route, but he didn't do that against Jaden Mickey or Gray. Right. So it's like that kind of thing. So, I mean, there's so much with the receivers there that like so many guys out and missing that it's just like how they look now. It's just like you can't really judge it based on how they're going to look going forward. But just like I wouldn't overreact to any too much of the good from the receivers in general.
I thought Aeneas Williams was just fine. That's what I thought. I think there was a lot said. I it wasn't bad or anything.
He ran hard.
Yeah, he ran hard. That's fine, right? Like, it's fine to do that. I do wonder if he's go. What were you gonna say?
Yeah, I was just gonna say like But yeah, I'll just to piggyback, sorry to interrupt you, but like,
no, you're fine.
Just to the point they're like, oh, like he's going to play this year. It's like, well, no, you know, like it wasn't, there wasn't anything there to be like, man, this guy's got to get on the field because of that. I was like, nah, he looked good. Like he looked good, but I mean, I don't see him playing over the top three backs on, you know, on the roster as of right now. And I think it's one thing too with him is interesting is because I think when you watch him, it's pretty evident he is a very different than Kyren Williams. And I know that Kyren yeah. Williams is the comp for him, but it's just, he is more of like a, he's more physical. He's more physical. Yeah. And it's not that Kyren couldn't be physical, but that was the thing, because Kyren was just more shiftier and could be physical when he needed to, but like it's just different skill sets.
Yeah, I think Kyren just had those light feet. He always had those light feet, even when he was kind of, you know, chunkier as a freshman. And I don't see that from Aeneas Williams, which is fine. Again, I'm not trying to like downgrade him. I just think I've heard a good amount of talk where it was like people were very excited, and I was like, I don't. It's fine, right? I didn't think it was anything to kind of get all crazy about. The Phil Dracovic. I got sacked 20 times. Don't get mad at me. Award. I think this is for Minchie. I think he, like you said, he had the toughest go of it as far as like the offensive line situation, and like you know, KK Smith and Micah Gilbert, right? Like those are not experienced players in college football, right? So he had a tough go from that standpoint as well, and I thought he made the most of it. So good job by Minchie on that. The Great Flamong, we are heavily monitoring award. Jamie, what are you monitoring coming out of this game? Well, what is something that you're going to keep your eye on?
I mean, I think you have to just say like the offensive tackle is still going to be monitoring that in like the, you know, in the negative context, because like you have to, they didn't come out of, it's the one thing where, you know, we came into spring and we're like, okay, well, how are these young guys going to look at linebacker? Well, check, you know, like, you know, we mentioned before, right? It's like, well, you know, how's Adon Schuler, you know, look, it's like, well, he looks like he can play. I'm not saying he's going to be a starter or he's going to be a star, but he looks like he can play. Right. So it's like, check. Right. So it's like those kind of things. There was a lot of questions just around certain things or, you know, are they improved at receiver? Check. You know, like all these things they checked off. And the one thing that I say that they haven't checked off is like, I think at guard, they're going to be fine. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, one, I think Billy Shrout, it looks good and saw a lot of good with him just overall. And I think like Ashton Craig's going to be fine at center too. And then I think that those are like going to be like building blocks for them inside. And I do think that like, whether it's Rocco, whether it's Coogan, whether it's maybe someone like Sullivan Absher, who just jumps into the mix because he looks good, or Pendleton, if he maybe moves to guard from center or whatever, like I think they're going to be fine there. But at tackle, I think there's still question marks. So I think if you look at this game, Emil Wagner was by way better than both of the other tackles in this in terms of pass pro, but he didn't have to go against Traore and Oben. So that's, you know, there is that kind of context with it, but I mean, all he can do is block the guys that he was going against. And I thought he handled himself really well. Like he was good, like just consistently throughout the day. So that's a question mark. And then I think if we're just like heavily monitoring like something from like the other perspective, I would say just like kind of what you said about like the pass rush in general, because I think it's going to be tough to figure out who's going to play on third down. I hope they kind of mix and match it a little bit, yeah, because they just got too many guys that are good. I can like, I mean, Snead is going to play on third down, obviously. Snead is going to play on third down. And who's the other linebacker who's going to play there? Are they going to play three linemen? Because last year, really, they had like at a time when they had Marist and Snead and Bertrand. Are they going to do that so much? Who's going to be the DJ Brown, you know, the Aztec? Are they going to keep doing that? Are they going to continue doing that? Are they going to play maybe like another corner, right? Like, Adon Schuler seems like he would be a really good fit there, but we'll see. I mean, I think Bowen is like, he's a good blitzer. He flashes a lot as a blitzer, but Kaiser is like also a good player. And, you know, he's going to be able to like kind of move around and have control of things and check into whatever. So there's all that. And then there's like, well, KVA, like, can this guy rush off the edge? I mean, Traore is going to play on third down. He's going to play on third down. And Oben is going to play on third down. You, of course, Howard Cross is going to play on third down. The guy was like hugely impactful as an interior rusher last year. And then it's like, well, you know, Mills can rush inside too. So he can do some of that as well. And I mean, I do think Botello looks like better. Like he looks more like the guy that we thought was and was twitchier too. And I, right now I wouldn't have him as a starter on third down, but it's like, well, he can also play. It's just, they got a lot of options. So it's like monitoring it. And like that way it's like, I really think this is like, it's, I really think 2019 was like the best that they've ever been in terms of like all of the pass rush options that they had. And that, the fact that they had all those injuries, like, you know, Aquara is out for the season, Hayes is out for the season. It's like, I mean, they're just plugging in edge rushers and they're just like still like no one can block them. And I mean, JOK didn't even play on third downs in 2019, right? So, yeah, I don't think it's that level, but it's close. It might be that level in 2025 or whatever, but like it's, they're really, I think they're going to be really good up front and present a lot of problems there.
Yeah. Tyler Borgman asks, on third and eight with the game on the line, what front would you like to see on defense at the moment? I think you would have Mills and Cross with Traore and Oben, and then send Snead rush five and ask the back six to cover, you know, like that's what I would do. Like that, I just think there's so much speed. There's so much power there. It's just that's why I feel like, man, this could be a really, really special pass rush group. I really do. I just think they've got a lot there. Someone that I've been monitoring, right? We all know about Adon Schuler. To me, he had a scrimmage. Like, okay, if this was a game, like a real game against Texas A&M or whatever, I would have said he had a poor game. It's fourth and two. He's got outside leverage. Got
to make that tackle.
Love. You got to have to make the tackle. You can't get outside. You just can't happen. The one against over the middle to Eli Raritan. Maybe it's a game he comes with a little bit more force, right? He doesn't want to blow up his teammate. That's possible. That's what happened. But on the other part, too, is like that defense is designed for him to rob that middle of the field. The ball should not even get to the chest of the wide receiver. Like it should be picked off, right? That's what but the other part is he's also doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. He's just doing it a little bit late or a little bit just like off, but he is where he's supposed to be. And to me, that reeks of a guy who is still making sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to do rather than translating that into completing the process into actually making the play, right? That's what I would take from a spring game. So that's good. Okay. So that's good in terms of, hey, he's exactly where he's supposed to be. Now go make the plays. Okay. Cause I saw a lot of his correct assignments, didn't see a lot of playmaking. Right. And so that's the next kind of level there. So that's kind of what I'm monitoring from him. The other part is I think this could be a really good running team too. I know that, you know, they didn't see that much in the game. I think when you add Riley Leonard to this, you add Jadarian Price to this, with the way that Jabron Payne looked in the game, this could be a really good running team, Jamie. I'm wondering what you think their ceiling is there. I think I don't want to throw out like 17 just because, man, they don't have Q and they don't have McGlinchey and they don't have Alex Bars, you know, or Tommy Kramer and Robert Hainsey guys like that. But I just think, man, that's, they've got a really good chance. I mean, because they run block pretty well. I thought 17 for 94 for Payne and Love in this game. I thought that's pretty good for spring with mismatched offensive line. I'm wondering your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I do think, and I think they're going to need to, right? Because I think that's one of the things too, that, you know, as we're always kind of talking about all this and, you know, worried about the offensive tackles and pass pro and all that, like, well, you know, they can't go into that game. They're not going to win and beat Texas A&M throwing the ball 40 times. Like, they got to run the football on Texas A&M. Like, that has to be a thing. So the worst chance they have of not winning that game is getting into a position where it's like, man, we got to drop back and throw all the time, because that's just when they're going to get in trouble. But I mean, you slow down a pass rush by like some of the stuff with like RPOs and play action and all that kind of stuff, but also just by running the football, because these guys can't like get in their sprinter stances and get ready to go attack. Cause if they do, you're going to run it down their throat. Right. So yeah. That's going to be, I think, huge for them. I would agree too. Like, you know, how they ran with pain and with love was encouraging. And I think that the quarterback run game is going to be a big deal. It is going to be a big deal. And they're going to need it. They're going to really, really need it. So I think that's going to be, as much as like people kind of want, like, I just don't think the team is quite built to be like they're definitely not built like LSU last year.
No. Right?
So they're not anywhere close to that. So I just think when I look at that kind of thing, it's going to be, you know, how they run the ball is going to be a big part of dictating how good they are on offense. And I think, even with some of the stuff, because I would say run blocking wise, if you're judging like Jagasaw in the run game, I mean, he blocked well from that perspective. And there's things there where you were like, well, this was good there. So I think that, you know, is kind of, it gets lost because people care about the quarterbacks, they care about all the other like kind of like the big plays and all that kind of stuff. But that's the kind of stuff that's going to matter if they're going to, you know, make the playoff this year. They got to run the ball well.
Right. And run it when you need to run it.
Yes.
You know, like so much of last year was like, sure, you ran it against Pitt. Good job. You ran it against Wake. Good stuff. You got to do it against A&M in the opener. You know, like that's when you need it. You got to run it when you need it. And so that's kind of what's going to be the determining factor. This team is going to do numbers, but it's just, and look, this has been kind of the situation for Notre Dame for a long time. Can you play your best ball when you need to play your best ball? Competitive greatness is what Bill Walton always used to say. Doing your best when your best is needed. Like, can Notre Dame do that? Like, that's where I'm at with this team. They're going to do numbers against some of these teams that just can't hang with them. And that's what they did last year. They're going to do it again this year. Can you do it against A&M? Can you do it against Louisville? Can you do it against Florida State? Can you do it against USC? Right? Like, you need to do it in these situations. And that's going to be the determining factor, in my opinion, on Notre Dame. Really quickly, Beef Eater asked a question about JLG with the Jamal Murray thing. Do you not know who you're talking to here? This is too soon. I can't be dragged.
He's 100% on point, though.
I can't be dragged into this stuff with Jamal Murray and the Nuggets. I live in Los Angeles, man. I'm a Laker person. Can't be dragged into this.
I mean, he's the definition, competitive greatness.
This just really hurts my feelings. You could say Kobe or something. Instead, you got to hurt me with this. That's a banning next time. It's not a banning. Okay. Beefeater ND08. Impressions on Chance Tucker. I heard his name a bunch, but was distracted while watching the game. You know what? I thought he played a great football game. I was watching him. He did just a bunch of like little things. Like, okay, what was it? The first drive, they high low. Okay, they're in cover two. They're high low. He opens up. Flanagan's run the corner route. he has the little curl route inside of him. I believe it was from, I don't remember who the wide receiver was. It might've been Greathouse. And then you have Jeremiah Love coming out of the backfield, right? So 1, 2, 3. And he ignores the curl route because it's not his problem. He sinks on the corner, and then Angeli throws the check down to Love. He comes up and makes a tackle for 2 yard gain, right? Now, is it a great play? No, it's not a great play, but it's a play that like you have to make in order to make it. It was like 2nd and 9. It goes to 3rd and 7. You know, like you have to make that play. There was another play where they gave the ball to Aeneas Williams, and he goes to bounce it. And the wide receiver on the other side was Greathouse. And it was Chris Mitchell. And he comes up and he goes inside of the wide receiver, but he gives the wide receiver his back. So it's like, you can't push me now from here because you are behind me. So he walls off. So he still stays outside leverage on the play, even though he is inside of the wide receiver because he forced his way with his back into the thing. And like, that's such a small thing. But sure that Williams had to cut inside to where the help was and ended up being no gain. It's like he doesn't get credit for that. But if he comes up too fast and Williams could put his foot in the ground and get around him and he doesn't give the back to the receiver and the receiver can wall him off, then Williams is around a corner and it's a huge play. You know, so it's little stuff like that. I mean, look, I don't know that they completed anything against him in coverage, right? So I thought he had a good game. I'm not going to proclaim that he's like definitely going to be the fourth, you know.
Well, right now he's the fourth by default.
But what does that mean? He's fourth, but are they going to play him?
Are they going to play him? Yeah.
Right. Like, I don't know. Right. I don't know what that means. But to the question, I thought he had a good spring game. I thought he looked real good out there. Any thoughts, Jamie?
Yeah, I thought he played pretty well in the game too. And I think that to me, he's always been a guy that's like probably had some pretty bad luck whenever he's been in the game.
Yeah.
Like he's like it's like perfect throw, perfect catch. It's like this is the only place the ball could go to get beat, and the guy makes like the catch of his life in like garbage time. It's like, okay, so it just like looks bad for him, but I was like, I mean, the coverage wasn't bad. It was like pretty good. Like, so there's that kind of stuff. I think that, and in practice too, like he's always kind of like competed well. Like he's been, to me, it's like very much like a Joe Wilkins guy where you're like, oh, this guy can, he's good enough to play and help when asked, you know? But I mean, there's obviously a drop off between him and the top group, but I mean, right now too, based on like they just lost Micah Bell and Clarence Lewis. So they could, you know, it would be very helpful if he can help them this year. Obviously they, you know, they're trying to get another guy in the portal right now. They got Leonard Moore and, Carson Hobbs coming too. So there's that, but you don't necessarily want those freshmen to earn it, to be good enough to play. And not, you know, you want them to be the Benjamin Morrison, Christian Grays, where it's like, well, this guy's too good. We got to get him on the field. Like, and not be a guy, not be a situation where it's like, well, God, I mean, they got to go to a freshman because of that. I think just Kim being there, I think it's like important, you know, because I do think that he's not a stiff. He's not a stiff. Yeah. Like he's a guy that, you know, in terms of depth down your roster, like certainly they've been like much worse at corner, like depth down the near. And like, I think on some other previous Notre Dame teams, like not so distant, you know, past, like he could have played on some other teams for sure.
Yeah. Matt McCarthy asking, do you think Notre Dame targets any positions? Do you think there's a position other than offensive tackle? I think if they found an offensive tackle that they liked and was better than those guys, they would bring him in. Can you think of another position where they would be looking for somebody?
Well, like corner depth, right? Corner, nickel depth.
I think well, they're looking for that. But like to me, that's like – because like they're not – like so to me, yeah, like a punter.
No, they don't need any. They don't need anybody like definitely to punter. Come in and really compete to be a starter anywhere.
Yeah.
No, they don't. Other than, yeah. Like you said, offensive tackle, like, but like, I just, there's nowhere there. Like, even when there's like a really good guy who pops in the portal somewhere, I'm like, okay, let's just say Damian Martinez. Not that I ever think that he would go to Notre Dame, or like this guy who just got a DUI is would be a guy that Notre Dame would be targeting. But like, just from strictly from a talent perspective, you wouldn't see a back and be like, oh man, of course. Why wouldn't they? Like, no, they just aren't in a position there. And like, and I think one of these things too is that there's some people that treat it like some programs that treat the portal like we're just going to keep bringing in the best guys possible and we don't care, let the chips fall where they may and just whatever. But like, I do think part of what, you know, Freeman and Notre Dame want to do is like, yeah, they want to bring in good guys, but they also like are wary of like the culture, retaining guys, keeping guys happy. That's part of it too, right? So that's something that I think that gets taken into account with it. So I don't think they can just add anyone somewhere. Like, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they could easily add guys. Like, so he mentioned about the 1 year guys out of high school. Did those guys have great, were they recruited by Notre Dame before? Because if they weren't, then they'd take them off the list. Yeah. Like, they're not going to be guys because it's just, if they weren't offered, they weren't like, you know, at a point where you think, oh, they would have got into school, all that, like, well, then those guys aren't going to be options, right? So, and then also too, like, you got to think of like just the drama. So like, you know, I don't know if he's mentioned this because of Dylan Edwards, but it's like, I mean, Dylan Edwards, could you use the talent? Sure, right? You could use it, but it's like, I mean, this guy was committed to three different schools while he's doing it. He's already a year out. Yeah, he led the team in rushing. Yet he's out right now. Like, what's the context of all this, of him leaving and all this kind of stuff? You know, he was getting like, he had like an iced out ND thing, and then like a week later he's like, you know, I gotta go with my guy Coach Prime, whatever. Like, yeah. Okay, like those guys, I just don't think like I don't think adding guys like that is good for the program, no matter how talented they are.
And it's like, it just that stuff matters, it just on a personal level, right? Like the coaches don't like that, you know. They put a lot of work in, and once you say no, well, that kind of, in the way that you say no, it's kind of not good. Michael's asking about Sean Sevillano, Cole Mullins, and Anthony Knapp. Jamie and Mike talked about this a lot on Power Hour yesterday. I recommend going in. I thought you said Sean Sevillano could be special. A dude, I believe, quote unquote, a dude. I agree with that.
I don't know if I said he should be special.
No. You said a dude, quote unquote, a dude. Yeah. He could be a dude. That was what you said. He didn't say special, just a dude is what we're going with. Cole Mullins, look, we're impressed with where he's at. He needs to get bigger, right? But like, he's doing stuff in the game that makes you think like there's something there and Notre Dame can build off
that. I think he's got a shot. Yeah, he's got a shot for sure.
Anthony Knapp, same thing. I thought he did some good stuff. You compared him to Robert Hainsey in a favorable manner. So, you know, probably there's another one. Has to get bigger, right? And he has to get stronger as well, probably.
They had himself really well, though. Yep. Really well. And like, there's, you know, there's, you know, all you're looking for with a lot of these guys, because, you know, not everybody comes in as KVA and CJ Carr and they're just lighting it up and people are just like, everybody's excited about them. A lot of it is you just want to see a kernel of like, okay, this guy's, there's something there. And then you build off of that and see where they're at. And I think there's, with all three of those guys, look like they got a shot to be players. So
you know what we say, Jamie? You know what we say to that? We're monitoring these three guys going forward. Maybe they'll make some noise in camp. All right. So that we'll check that one out. All right. We're going to end it there. Thank you everyone for tuning in. If you like what you heard, please hit the like button. Please hit subscribe. Please hit the notification bell. So you know whatever it is. We are going live. We'll be back on Thursday. We're going to do a mailbag show. It'll probably go deep. We're going to get some questions from ISD customers. We'll put that out there. So if you are a member of ISD, go to the message board. We'll post a thread on there. You can ask your questions there and we'll get to all your questions. So thank you, everyone. We'll talk to you Thursday. Keep hitting and hustling.